Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
There you go, Wiggy. That's Flock of Seagulls. A Flock of Seagulls, based on your seagull discussion moments ago. Bruins, Hurricanes, Game 2, 8 o'clock tonight. And joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline from NBC, it is Pierre McGuire. Hey, Pierre.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Are you bubbled somewhere right now?
I've been bubbled for almost 3 weeks in Edmonton, Alberta, yeah.
All right, good. How has your bubble experience been?
It's been great. You know what? I got to give the hotel people a ton of credit, the National Hockey League, an immense amount of credit. The National Hockey League Players Association has done a magnificent job with this. The healthcare professionals that test us every day. This has been, it's a unique way to live. It's been a phenomenal experience, though, and I'm grateful for it, but there are not a lot of options. Let's put it that way. This is probably the only way to get the game back on ice, and they've done a fantastic job with it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like there have been many negatives. I mean, you know, some were whining here about the Bruins and the overtime necessity when it came to having to play that game yesterday. But I mean, other than that, I feel like it's been pretty good so far.
If you're a professional athlete, you take the games as they come. You buckle up, you focus, you get ready to play, and you get out there and do it. You know, that's just the way it goes. I don't think the players are complaining right now. In fact, I think the players probably want to get this done and compete and get it done as soon as they can so that they can prolong their careers and not have to run into the middle part of October and then have the season start again December 1st. For next year. So, no, every player that I've talked to said they just want to get out there and play. I haven't heard any complaints at all from the players.
And then some here, like Wiggy and Lou Merlone, were panicked about the Bruins and the performance when it came to the round robin. Those guys generally, you know, Marsh described it as preseason. It seems like, based on the performance yesterday anyway, they didn't look at it as important at all, basically. It was like getting the rust off.
Well, I've done a lot of games. I've done 2 to 3 games a day ever since this started. And so I can tell you that the teams that were in the round robin were not nearly as intense in their preparations. The teams that went right into 3 out of 5 playoff series and the qualifiers. And the qualifiers definitely had to expend a lot of energy, and they had to probably deal with a lot more injuries than the teams that played in the round robin, just because it's a different format. That being said, the parity in the league is phenomenal. You know, you saw the Chicago Blackhawks as a 12 seed beat a 5 seed in the Edmonton Oilers in Edmonton, by the way, and that's not an easy thing to do. I know there are no fans in the building, but still there's a comfort level for the Oilers. They're playing in their own building. They were able to do it. It speaks to the parity in the league. So I wouldn't be too worried about the Bruins. You know, I watched that game yesterday, like most people probably in the listening audience, and I was really impressed with how they got better as the game went along and how they managed their game as the game went along. They're a veteran team. They're a well-coached team. They're a very deep team, especially down the middle. So lots of positive things for the Bruins coming out of that game yesterday.
Wiggy, you want to ask about Char or you want to ask about Tuukka?
Well, I think Tuukka's more important than Chara. So the biggest question that we've had around here, Pierre, is does Tuukka Rask stop for you in net tonight because it's a back-to-back, and Bruce Cassidy had said there could be a chance that he might not play. I'm one of the people that I think you ride your hot goalie. That's the way, you know, you win Stanley Cup championships, and I would not sit Tuukka.
Well, you and I agree, Wiggy, 100%. You know, I think the biggest thing is having gone through the process twice as a coach in Pittsburgh, you definitely need to have your hot goalie. But there are going to be times when the injuries are going to happen, as you're well aware in pro sports. But I would say the biggest thing with Tuukka is, you know, he's got to get more and more reps. And the positive thing for the Bruins, they have a tremendous 1-2 situation with Tuukka Rask and Yaroslav Halak, which is, you know, obviously a luxury that a lot of teams don't have, especially at this time of the year in terms of playoff hockey. But I'd like to see Tuukka get back in there and play, and I got to believe if he's healthy and ready to go, I got to believe they all have the chance to go.
Do you feel like this is the Bruins' last chance with this core group of guys? I mean, Berge's getting older.
Krejci, Chara.
You look at these guys, and do you feel like this is their last chance for a run, essentially?
I don't. I'll tell you why. I think you still have a lot of hockey left in Pastrnak. You still got a lot of hockey left in Marchand. I still think that when you look at their depth down the middle with Charlie Coyle and Sean Corrali being in the 3-4 hole, the mobility of their defense, that's a thing that people don't appreciate enough around the NHL. I'm not saying Bruins fans, but people around the NHL, you look at a Charlie McAvoy, you look at a Brandon Carlo, I don't know what they're going to do with Krug's contract. Are they going to re-sign him or are they going to let him go? But they still have Matty Grizzlick. They still have Johnny Moore. You know, I don't know where Kevin Miller's rehab is going, but he's still a very useful player if he's 100% healthy. I mean, the Bruins got assets. Donnie Sweeney's done a really good job acquiring assets over time. And I think the Bruins still have a lot of hockey left in them. I really do. And I know their scouting staff really well. They're very thorough and very, very professional. I don't see the Bruins having a collapse at all, even though they do have some older players. There's no question about it.
Pierre, if they don't win a cup with this group, another one, would you look back on their run as long as it has been and say it's a little disappointing they didn't get more than just the one?
Well, the problem in the league, our league anyways, is you've got a lot of other teams that have been so darn good. I mean, the Penguins with their back-to-backs in 16 and 17, the Capitals have been knocking on the door forever and ever and ever and finally broke through in 2018. And, you know, last year the Bruins were, I think, a goalie away from winning. And the reason I say that, you look at what happened in the first 7 to 10 minutes of that game, 7 with St. Louis, and you look at the play of Jordan Binnington and how well he played. If the Bruins score there or dent him a little bit, I think the Bruins win game 7. But Binnington stood on his head. That's just part of playoff hockey, as Riggy was talking about, the importance of the goaltender. So, and Binnington got on a roll yesterday, or last year. He was unbelievable. So, you know, you look at it. I think the Bruins' footprint over the last 7 to 10 years has been fantastically strong, very, very strong.
How do you fix, when you look at the Bruins' issues, right? They don't have many, and I was shocked at the way that they played basically after watching that round robin. But the one issue that they've been struggling with has been their power play. I think they're like 0-13 since being in the bubble. How do you fix maybe some of those issues if you're coaching this team?
Well, one of the things that's become apparent, the Bruins were one of the real leaders of this, playing that bumper position or the 1-3-1 power play with Bergeron being in the middle, and a lot of people really became savvy to it. And believe it or not, a lot of teams, imitation's a finest form of flattery, and there are a lot of teams trying to imitate what the Bruins do on the power play. The problem is teams really over-prepare to play against Boston because they know how fluid that power play and how good it is. So I think what you got to do is become less of a fancy power play and more of a shot-first mentality power play. And that's why I think, you know, you've got Gunner and Pastrnak. You've got, you know, a slot area presence in Marchand. And I think you got to start just pile-driving pucks on goal. That's one of the things when your power play does go a little bit cold, you've got to start getting pucks to the net and create scramble situations or initial shot situations where you score. And I think that's probably something that coaching staff is looking at right now.
Pierre, how does Carolina, I mean, do you think this series is over? I don't want to say over, but why does Carolina have so much trouble with Boston? What's wrong with the matchup from their point of view?
Well, first of all, they're a growing brand. Last year, I did their series with Washington. They had to go and win Game 7 on the road in Washington. They've played in some arduous physical series, especially this year. saying that they have had trouble with Boston, the elite team. We just talked about that. Carolina is a neophyte team trying to learn how to win. One of the things they did to upgrade their ability to try to compete with Boston is they went out and acquired Sammy Vatanen. They went out and got Brady Shea. They traded for Joel Edmondson. They brought in Dougie Hamilton. They tried to upgrade their defense to give themselves a legitimate chance to compete against the four lines and a team like the Bruins, an elite team, can present. You know, what people don't talk about enough with the Bruins is with Bergeron, Krejci, Charlie Coyle, and Sean Corral, you got four massive people down the middle that can really play hockey. And when you can dominate down the middle of the ice the way the Bruins can, it's really tough in the opposition defense. So I think what Carolina's done is try to upgrade their defense by adding those players I just talked about to give themselves a fighting chance. And I think yesterday you saw that. They're an upgraded team. They're a very upgraded team, and they've probably got the most underrated coaching staff in the league. Brind'Amour, I know he got fined yesterday, but Rod Brind'Amour is a phenomenal coach. Jeff Daniels is an outstanding coach, his assistant, and they've got a lot going on there that's really, really positive.
Wiggy, go ahead. Ask about Chara.
I'm not going to ask about Chara.
I know what Pierre's going to say, but go ahead.
He's going to say he's a good player. I think Chara's a little bit past his prime, but the question
is... Wiggy wants less minutes for Chara.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with him.
Oh.
In fact, I'd probably support him on that. And I think that's one of the... Having coached in the league, you've got to manage older players' minutes. There's no question. And Big Z's played so many hard minutes for so many years.
Wiggy said he hasn't been good...
players' minutes.
Pierre, Wiggy said he hasn't been good for 4 years.
Yeah, I said it's about 3 or 4 years since Chara was that type of player. I just feel like based on the minutes he gets, I would have him as my third pairing defenseman. But I understand it's the last name, and that's why we love Char around here, and he gets the credit.
Well, one of the things you need to look at, what's his strength as a player right now, and one of the big strengths he has is a reach. The other thing is his toughness. And the third thing is his ability to kill penalties. So you can find a way to bring those all together and play him enough minutes so that he doesn't get stale. He's an important leader around that team. Oh, my goodness. When you're around that dressing room and you see the influence he has on those players, it's phenomenal. I'll give you a quick story. The last game the Bruins played before the pause, they played in Philadelphia. I always get to the rink early for the morning skates, and I always get there early for the afternoon before the game starts. So I was at the rink around 2:30 in the afternoon for a 7 o'clock start, and all of a sudden I walk into the Bruins area, and I'm talking to video coaches and the trainers, and the big man came in, Z came in by himself, and we were just sitting around talking. We were talking about his life in hockey and talking about some of his former Slovakian teammates from Olympic teams past and all that stuff. And I asked him, what are you doing at the rink so early, Z? And he says, you know what? I just want to think about it and take it in and be ready for this game tonight. That's the kind of professional this guy is. He was there by himself at 2:30 in the afternoon. His level of preparation, his professionalism is phenomenal. I have so much respect for that man. Tremendous respect.
Pierre, we did a poll this morning on the show. Which is more impressive at the age of 43? Brady playing quarterback or Chara playing defense? Curious to see where you would weigh in on that.
Well, that's a good question. I would probably say being a hockey player at 43 is amazing because they play 82 games a year, and then you compound that if you play deep into the playoffs like the Bruins have under Big Z or when he was in Ottawa, the amount of games they played. That's a pretty amazing accomplishment in all the time zone travel. Football players, I think, play, 16, 17, 18 games in the regular season and playoffs, depending on where how deep they go. So it's a little bit different. I would say Big Z's accomplishment is pretty amazing.
I would agree. Curtis is the only one who disagrees.
I don't think we're doubting that. Now the question that I wanted to ask you is that one of your colleagues said this, and I agree with him. Mike Milbury, I don't know if you heard him talking about after the Tampa Bay and Columbus game with the 5 overtime that they should think about changing the overtime format. I think it should be after 2 overtimes, go to a 3-on-3 format. I don't think there should be a shootout. I know Milbury had said
that. No shootout, but they should go right to the 4-on-4.
4-on-4, 3-on-3, I'm all for that. What's your thoughts on maybe, like, because there are a lot of games that go into, you know, multiple overtimes, especially during the playoffs.
And that's part of the thing that creates the lore. You know, that's only the fourth time in the history of the National Hockey League over 100 years that we've had a game go that long. I did the fifth longest game ever now between Dallas and Anaheim. And I can tell you right now, all those players will remember that the rest of their lives. just like the guys that played in the Columbus-Tampa series will remember that the rest of their lives, just like the guys that played in the Ice Bowl back in Green Bay a long, long time ago between Dallas and Green Bay. They'll remember that the rest of their lives. They're always monumental games that really matter. And I think whenever you have those kinds of extended periods of games, it's phenomenal. I don't want to change it. I've been fortunate enough to be a part of a two-time Stanley Cup winning team. I've been at Stanley Cup final since 1990 when the Bruins played the Edmonton Oilers and I was scouting at the time. So I would just tell you this, I don't want to see it change. And I think most hockey people don't want to see it change. I've talked to a bunch of players out here in Edmonton, management people. They thought it was just amazing and they don't want to see it change. It's part of the lore, but you think about how infrequently it happens. That's the fourth longest game in the history of the NHL. It's not like it happens every year.
Yeah.
It's the fourth longest game in history. So I don't want to see it change.
All right, Pierre. And how far do you think the Bruins get?
Well, they can go deep.
Okay.
The Bruins can go and do a repeat of what they did last year. They really can. The one, I think, team that can be a problem in the East would be Philadelphia, but they didn't play great last night. And the other team, and I just don't know how much they're going to have left, is Tampa.
Yeah.
But I could see them. I could see them going on a very long run, Boston. I really do.
All right, Pierre. Thanks for joining us from the bubble. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Anytime. Really fun talking hockey with you guys. Take care.
All right, there he is, Pierre McGuire. Right now, Cannon, what is trending?
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Subaru of New England, a lot to love event going on now. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. All right, Wiggy, you win. Pierre says go with Tuukka tonight.
Yep.
What can I say?
And he said less minutes for Chara.
Yes, he did.
Not only did I win once, but I won twice.
And those comments about Dale off the air, my God.
I got no problem with playing Chara every minute of the PK.
Yeah.
Then get your minutes there, but 5-on-5, man. It's just, the game has passed him by.
Now, speaking of my friend Dale, what were you guys talking about on the show yesterday with his suit
his
jacket?
Suit. Yeah, he had some clips there that I guess it went viral on social media. His jacket was too big for him, so he said Jaffe tried to help him out, put these giant clips on to make his jacket look smaller.
It's all the weight he lost.
Yeah, it's more fitted.
What do you mean by giant clips?
Like binder clips, the black binder clips with the silver things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were bigger than that, though.
That's been a long time. They might be like the lighting, the Gavin clips.
Yeah, they're more like that.
Yeah, that's a long time, like, newswoman secret. There was a very popular news anchor here in town for many, many, many years that would get smaller jackets and then clip them to make
Bianca
the bosoms.
Della Garza.
No, it was not
to
her.
To make her bazooms look bigger?
Yeah, and the waist smaller. Oh. That's an industry secret.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
Joyce Culhawick.
That's
Hank
Phillippe
Ryan.
And I guess, you know, they went all over social media because you could see the clips. He had two of them, one on the top and one on the bottom.
Yeah.
So they look like sticking out. Look like he had two knives
in his
back.
What the hell? Did Billy do them dirty? What the hell?
I guess when you go on a Billy Jaffe as your personal stylist,
get the guy. Can't Nessun afford a jacket that fits when it comes to Dale Arnold? I mean, he's their premier personality over
there. Men's Warehouse clothes. Brooks Brothers
clothes.
And
an endorsement.
Brooks Brothers
quick
is
note,
no longer.
Mr. Guy.
Yeah, Brooks Brothers. Sorry, Ken. You put Brooks Brothers out of business with your quarantine.
Mr. Social Distancing Arnold, there is no way that he did that himself.
Probably somebody did it with they had a clip holder.
Jaffe,
a six foot clip holder.
Oh, okay, good.
One of those door openers.
Yeah. He said Jaffe threw it with the
oh, he threw it open and then it landed closed right on the jacket?
Oh, it's like when Michael Scott caught the open scissors.
Yes.
That's the 47th Office reference this morning, by the way.
There are so many of them.
They love The Office.
You could just put it back together.
Bring interest back.
And the phone rings.
Now, Danielle, would the clips work with a white T-shirt? Could you pull that in? Like,
I don't know that you'd want to make that more fitted.
You have to go in the other direction, Ken, with the white T-shirt. It needs to be extended.
You pull the clips in to get the wrinkles out.
Can we get your white picture into a glass container and hang it on the wall in the hallway?
No, we can't, Curtis.
We'll make it a canvas.
No, we can't. I'd like all negatives burned on that white T-shirt photo.
Well, that's during the white T-shirt era.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of...
It was February, but yeah. I mean, I don't know if that was the era.
I think it was them franchise boy era, you know.
Listen, it was a mistake. I made a fashion faux pas. Mm-hmm. I will regret it till the end of eternity.
Yes,
I feel bad about it.
I feel bad bringing it up. I'm sorry.
No, you don't.
It's like the big pun era. There was a whole era for that, Greg. You're just a little late.
Well, at 4:30 today, you got a Red Sox game with Sean McDonough on the Shaw's at Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network. We're left with a salvage possibility against Tampa, but they got Tyler Glass now on the mound. So
I kind of like how Sam basically said nobody's untouchable. They're willing to part with anybody on this team, and the sooner than later.
Blamed injuries. He went to the excuse card, but I guess they have a legit excuse there.
Big mistake by Wiggy, by the way. Mm-hmm. Doesn't bring up the big pun era when we have Pierre on.
Yeah, I don't know if Pierre was into the big pun era.
And the Celtics have their matchup with the Sixers. No schedule yet, but that'll be next week at some time. Celtics-Sixers, round one, second playoff meeting in 3 years. This time with Average Al on that side, Wiggy.
That's Lou's boy. Average Al.
No Ben Simmons.
Yeah, no Ben. That's going to hurt them because, you know, the game ran through Ben Simmons, you know, obviously their point guard, but that's going to hurt them.
But Embiid's going to have some 40-point games, right?
Yeah, the Celtics are always going to struggle against big men. But it's going to be about what Tatum and Kemba Walker do on the other side,
and also Hayward has been playing great. I think.
Yeah, they got enough to beat. I guess they got enough to beat everybody in the East. Their problem is going to be if they make it to the NBA Finals, they don't have enough to beat the Lakers or the Clippers.
Noon tip with the Wizards today to finish off the regular season in the Orlando bubble. That's what's trending on the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
My concern is all these students coming from these states, these red states, and I don't mean political red states that are high coronavirus right now, coming in, and if they don't follow the protocol, they're supposed to quarantine for 14 days in their home, wherever they're from. They're supposed to get a test within 72 hours of coming to Boston, and then when they come here, they present us with that test, and then this college is going to quarantine them as well. I just hope that, you know, we're hoping that students do this. We're hoping that students actually quarantine and they're not bringing the virus to the city.
Two points here. Number one, who chose that song?
That would be me, them franchise boys. White tee for your white t-shirt.
Can we give up on the white t-shirt thing? I mean, it's been months.
Nope. There was a whole period of time where that was the fashion style.
Your white t-shirt is the lone bright spot of 2020.
And then secondly, the Burgermeister Burger is trusting the college students to follow the guidelines when they arrive shortly.
Oh, what a presser yesterday, though. Yes. Another day, the mayor's standing in front, bumbling around. And he talks about this, it's like a small thing. Like, oh, and we have to sort of worry about the 100,000 students coming from hotspots into our city.
But he must be listening to the show because Branch of 40 listened to the whole thing looking for him to say City of Boston, and he didn't say it because Curtis criticized him for it.
Yeah, he's probably listening. I mean, he listens. He still listens. He still listens.
He has a tough time with comprehension.
He doesn't come on anymore, but he still listens.
Well, he's supposed to come back on. I thought you guys...
Yeah, that was several weeks ago.
Rain check.
He ran out of time, and he gave us a rain check. And
I love the show, by the way. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
He's talking about OMF.
Speaking of politicians, we should get my governor on tomorrow, Governor Sununu, because he is infuriated with Charlie Parker.
Why?
Well, have you seen what the state wants to do with New Hampshire telecommuters?
Oh.
So they're trying to...
Shocking. What do we love to do? Tax.
Yeah. So you have a bunch of, I guess, 15% of the population of New Hampshire generally commutes to Boston, commutes to Massachusetts for a job. Mm-hmm. 15%.
Okay.
None of them clearly have been doing it, or most of them haven't been doing it for the last 4 months.
Yep.
But Massachusetts is still trying to tax them when it comes to their income tax.
Mm-hmm. Even though they haven't been in the state physically.
Yes. Now, I don't know how you feel about that. I mean, still, there's
now,
still...
Now, are we going to give a tax break to people that would normally have come down that aren't? Like, I mean, you know, it's...
So, they're... Well, I don't... What do you mean?
I was just saying the flip of... I phrased it poorly. Anyway, go ahead.
So,
but aren't they still, the company is based here, correct?
Yeah.
So that's where they make their money.
Yeah, but aren't taxes supposed to be for services provided? Have they been utilizing any of the services that could have been provided for them because they've been at home in New Hampshire?
Read my lips.
No, Chris.
So they want to still tax them even though they don't come to the city, they don't work in the city, but he still wants them to pay the tax.
Pay the income tax, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that. That don't make sense, right?
They're being paid in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
But they're not technically working.
They're not
here.
Working.
They're not physically here.
They're
that's
working
usually
from home.
What the tax is based on,
yes.
The fact that you physically work in the state.
I like
this is
it.
The issue. This is why Wiggy can't move to New Hampshire.
Right, but I can if I work from home.
Well, you already proved that you're not going to do that.
So let's just say, well, hypothetically, we had a host.
Don't throw
you're
salt.
Messing up your lies.
You're messing my lies up.
Let's say Andy Hart, he said he lives in a neighboring town of Rhode Island. Let's say he actually lived in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And he worked the weekend shows from his home.
Right, he would be taxed here.
Right, and he should be.
When he's using whatever services we provide, highways, byways.
Mm-hmm. But you choose where you live. If you're working in that state, you know the taxes are going to be what the taxes are going to be.
Well, maybe if they're working in the state of New Hampshire, they should be paying the taxes in the state of New Hampshire because they're not coming to work in Massachusetts.
So if you think it was flipped, you think they'd be like, oh, wait, I still want to pay my taxes?
Aren't they technically working from home?
Yeah, they're working from home.
On top of that, it's getting taxed.
Right. So they're working in New Hampshire. Their company's based in Massachusetts.
Right.
They joined a company knowing it's in the state of Massachusetts and there is an income tax.
Yeah, but they also joined that company knowing that they would be going to work every day and they were going to be provided whatever the things that the company would have.
Look at all the money they're saving without gas.
But the taxes are based on where you're conducting the work, I believe. So if you work for a Massachusetts company and you're based out of Florida, I don't think you're paying the income tax.
No, it's where you're physically doing the work.
Right.
Right.
That's a really good point.
Thank
that
you,
just
Wiggs.
Debunks everything Curtis just said.
I know.
Said.
Yes, you're right.
Good point.
I mean, they're doing the work in New Hampshire. They're not doing the work in Massachusetts.
I'm going to raise your taxes.
Wow. That is a really good point. You don't even think about that. That people might, the company might be based in Massachusetts, but they live in Florida and they work from home and they don't have to pay state income tax.
Yeah. What? All right. Well, anyway, let's see if we can get my governor on tomorrow morning.
I'm
Governor
with you,
Sununu.
Sununuwa.
So it used to be breakfast with Baker, and that no longer happens.
Nope.
Now
so
it's
going to
be snacks with Sununu.
Snacks with Sununu. Yeah, I like that. Hold on a second. This is Ryan who can give you some clarity on this. Ryan?
Hey, good morning, Greg.
Hey, what's up?
Team. So I live in New Hampshire. My company's based out of Mass.
Yeah.
If you work remote, that's considered your office.
Okay.
So I don't pay Mass tax, even though my company's based there.
Ooh. Okay.
However, if you live in New Hampshire and work in Mass, you pay Mass income tax. If you live in Mass and then work in New Hampshire, you pay Mass income tax.
Yeah. Basically, we have figured out a way to tax everybody, regardless of who they work for or where they work, is basically what it
That's
is.
Exactly right. The company has to label your home address as your work location, that you work at least 60% of the time out of that location. Then I don't have to pay Mass income tax.
Now, there are some who are saying anybody who has defected from Massachusetts and gone to New Hampshire but still has their job here, they should be taxed. They're like, forget about it. You want to leave our state and go to New Hampshire and still work here, then we want you to pay a tax
that's
here.
That's stupid.
There's some people who say that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Maybe they didn't defect. Maybe they've always lived in New Hampshire and applied for a job that's in Massachusetts. Like, you don't know.
Could be the case.
But you people have no problem going over the border around Christmas time to buy stuff with no tax, though,
right.
In Salem.
You ain't got no problem going to get them fireworks, some cigarettes, and that liquor.
Cigarettes and the flavored dip.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget the flavored
Thank
dip.
Thank you.
I'm with you.
I was able to.
We're going to stop at the New Hampshire liquor store real quick on the way home before we hit the border.
Hey, I was able to stock up on flavored dip on Saturday up in New Hampshire. It was the greatest day of the year for me.
And Siggy's. My mother-in-law stocks up on Siggy's because
she does.
Cheaper.
And there's menthol in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Ain't no. New Hampshire. Yeah. Ain't no menthol here.
New Hampshire is anything goes state.
Yes.
Remember Anything Goes Airlines?
Correct.
They are Anything Goes State.
Correct.
They don't care.
No.
They have fun up there.
They don't give a.
They don't worry about it.
But get that 60% thing.
Well, there's no income tax up there.
Yeah, I know, but I told you I looked into that whole thing. But the guy just said if and a comp can say I'm there 60% of the time.
Oh, God. Please. Threaten downstairs, Joe. Yo, you're going to sign this.
Yeah, I think you should make the move up there. I really do. You're sick of Massachusetts.
Well, you know.
You've had it.
Listen, my poor kids, you're a native son.
You're a native son hero.
Yeah.
A snowball hero.
That's right.
And you are being driven out of this state.
Right. Born and bred
by the draconian measures that have been taken.
By Marty Walsh and Governor Baker there.
Governor Charlie Parker in Massachusetts.
I think you should make a statement and move to New Hampshire.
And
maybe get a trailer or something
You can get a lot of nice house for your money out in New Hampshire.
I have a question, Greg. Where does upstairs Joe pay his taxes? Because he's never here.
He was here yesterday. He put out the bat signal. He appeared like Scott from Weymouth.
60% of the time.
Crossover is next.
Yep.
Maybe we'll talk to Dale about the jacket and other things.
Works for me.
Okay. All right. We'll get to the crossover coming up next.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Hey, baby. We don't mind all the watching.
Today's crossover brought to you by National Lumber. Visit them at national-lumber.com. Dale, would you like to address this Clipgate controversy?
Sure.
What is going on here?
I'm happy to do it. It's not that big a deal to me. Because of both Paige at Awaken 180 and my personal trainer, Lisa Sawyer, I'm one of the people who weighs less now than when the shutdown began.
Yes.
I'm not.
You're the only one.
I'm clearly not the only one.
There are others, but I'm right there with you. Yes, Wiggy has two, and I've lost some more weight.
Yeah.
And I grabbed a suit out of the closet yesterday, went to work.
Mm-hmm.
When I got there and put the jacket on, Billy said, "Boy, that really looks big." Mm-hmm. And it was. And he was trying to help me out. He was trying to be a team player. He was trying to be a friend. And he clipped it up in the back so that it didn't look so blousy on me. And one of the camera angles caught it, at which point we took the clips off because everybody was losing their crap about it. And it's as simple as that. Trust me, I will not go to work tonight without having tried on the suit before I leave here.
Yeah. Dale, I don't know what the problem is. Female news anchors have been doing this to get more cleavage since the dawn of time.
That's what I was going for. I was going for more cleavage.
I know.
The problem is you were. Problem is he doesn't have bosoms.
Well, listen.
I'm a little mystified by why so many people were so fascinated by it.
Yeah. I mean, it went viral, bro.
They don't like you, Dale. That's what it is.
Well, there's a fair number of them out there. They're the same ones who lose their bleep because I go to Nesson, but I don't come into EEI.
He's right here.
Oh, I didn't have to go far to find him.
I'm right here.
That's who I was talking to.
I mean, I played in a golf tournament yesterday with your boy Raycroft.
Uh-oh.
And he'll be on the show today. He'll be on the show today, by the way.
And Razor was saying to me, he's like, "I don't understand why Dale doesn't go to WEEI, but he goes to Nesson." I said, "Listen.
Was he? Well, he was going to be on at 11:30 today. I don't know that he will now. Not sure. We'll see.
What happens when we don't see Raycroft for like 3 weeks? We got to say, what's going on with Greg?
Actually, you know what? Razor was supposed to be on tonight's Bruins game as well. I'm not sure if that schedule can get changed or not, but you know, we'll see.
You ask him. You can
Somebody's
ask
dry
him
snitching, it.
It
sounds like, Dale.
You know what, Wiggy? It's a sad state of affairs, isn't it?
Pretty good golfer, though. He's a pretty good golfer.
All hockey players are, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely.
Have you ever met a hockey player who didn't have a beautiful golf swing?
No.
And just out of curiosity, Greg, just to put a bow on this one.
Yes.
What the hell difference does it make to you where I'm sitting?
It really doesn't matter to me.
Then why do you keep harping on it?
Because I think it's a bit hypocritical for you.
Oh, no. Before you go there.
Well, hold on a second.
Let me just say the protocols over there are a whole lot different than what they are where you're sitting right now.
It's protocols,
right, but
bro.
Don't you think it's a little hypocritical to be in your home for 4 months screaming about people who are doing things that you feel are irresponsible and then suddenly when the Nesson gig starts you're like, "Oh, hidey
ho, work.
I'm off to work."
No masks the moment the camera goes on. Yeah. Masks every other moment you're in the building other than that.
Then you have Fauci say when you're indoors, you should be wearing a mask because...
And I am until the red light goes on.
Well, then you take it off, so it's not working,
and
Dale.
Do you notice the distance between me and Billy and Barry as
well? You know what that's like? That has an analogy. That's like saying, all right, I'm a mile away from my house. I could take the seatbelt off.
No, it's not. It has nothing to do with any of that.
That's totally different.
It's a great point.
Good analogy, Wade.
It is.
Good job, bud.
Yeah, the red light comes on and the mask comes off. Well, still, you know,
with the extra jacket room, you could theoretically just pull that up over your face and cover all the mucosal.
It would obviously make people feel a whole lot better about my appearance because it really did catch people's attention yesterday.
All the mucosal surfaces.
Yeah, your mucosal surface.
We got to find out about the protocol here.
One thing that we can agree on is the Bruins look great. I mean,
they were certainly better yesterday. Yeah. The guy sitting beside you there, and I don't mean it. Danielle.
I said I was wrong. I didn't realize they could flip the switch, and you know, everybody that said they could flip it, they were right. I was completely wrong because they sure enough flipped that
switch.
This
isn't over. I mean, this isn't close to being over, but they look more normal. I said I thought the Bruins would win this series in six, so I still think. You know, they're going to lose a couple of games in this series before all is said and done, but I think they're the better team. And Andrew Raycroft, if he is on our show today, will talk to us about it at 11:30.
Listen, I'm exaggerating what he... I don't want to get him in trouble.
I've already texted Nesson. He's off the schedule for tonight. I've already texted Chris Scheim. He's out of here for today. That stuff is done.
See what happens when it all starts with a dry snitch?
Yeah, right. That's the problem.
Man.
How did Jaffe remain socially distanced when he put the clips on?
He had to reach out. I turned my back to him, and he clipped it.
Wide wingspan.
He has 6 foot arms.
They are pretty long. Another former hockey player.
Arm extenders or something?
Oh, no, it's his wingspan.
Yeah, okay.
Right. He's like Shaq.
And by the way, when he did clip me, both of us had our masks on, too.
All right, good.
And when the red light came,
What about goggles?
No, we don't wear goggles.
No goggles.
We ought to wear masks. Yes. Everybody does.
Until the red light comes on.
We have our own private room. No one in the building. No one who works at Nesson can go in our room except us. And that's even on days when we're not there. They can't go in that room. Brick and Jack have their own room. The baseball studio guys have their own room. Obi and Eck and Jerry have their own. And nobody can go near those rooms except us.
We could do that here. We could take the old AAF studio.
Right.
And that could just be your room.
It's a broadcast studio still, so right. I don't think that would work.
Well, Dale would just have to turn the Christian music on every once in a while.
Great. Well, I'd be able to hit those buttons.
Greg,
don't you worry.
It's all for nothing, because guess what? When the red light comes on, we take the mask off and we start talking. So.
Oh, yeah, you wear the masks all over the building there, right, Wade?
No, I don't.
I know you don't.
I'm just saying, what's the point of when the red light comes on, the mask comes off?
Because I'm 7 feet away from any other human being.
But
Wade,
you're indoors. You heard Fauci.
Keep trying, Wade.
Cut the guy some slack for crying out loud.
I'm busting your cojones, mate.
That's okay. All right. All right, fellas. Danielle, good to talk to you.
Thanks, Clippy.
Lots of hockey today.
We'll do some hockey today. Okay. Andy Hart's in. I get a co-host today who I've never met. I've admired his work. Really? I like him. I like Nick Cattle's work a lot, but he's going to be in as well. And as we said, Andrew Raycroft at 11:30. Mike Giardi will talk Patriots and football at 12:30. And by the way, Wiggy, according to our buddy Dan Roach on Twitter, no high school football in Massachusetts this
really?
Year.
What?
Uh-oh. Tweeted that out about 15 minutes ago.
Thank God that didn't happen during the show.
Oh, man. I know.
Wiggy would have been insufferable.
And I just saw that our positivity rate is the lowest it's been in a... Man.
So wait, he's saying he has heard no high school football in Massachusetts.
Well, he makes my decision.
What a joke.
He tweeted it out, let's see, 35 minutes ago. Hearing with new guidelines implemented from the state, there won't be high school football in the fall.
And I just saw an added tweet by Roachie, but there will be games inside the Nesson studios.
There will be. We've got lots of room. No problem.
When the red light comes on.
Yes. All right. Dale and Keith is next. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. Thank you for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.